Get you some celery, Greg, man. Keep some lead in that pencil, brother.
Dude, oh, my you don't want to talk about my pencil, man. My pencil is
why are you talking about my pencil, bro?
The pocket knife. It's fine, man.
Just get one of those mechanical pencils with that reloadable lead. Don't worry about it.
No,
that's not a knife. That's a spoon. I see you've played knifey spoony before.
I may be 41 years old, but I'm 100% Italian. So if anything is gone, it's not that.
Fair enough.
Kingpin.
Fair enough.
That's what the name comes from. Not really, but I'll take it.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Till I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And angels start to look good.
Well,
they're gonna have to deport.
That appears to be pretty apropos for this evening. Well, first and foremost, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Pod is War. Pod is War was brought to you by Chair Shot Radio Network in conjunction with thechairshotradio.com. Always use your head. My name is Christopher Platt, and as always, I am joined by my main man, 50 Grand. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and show some love for Mr. Andrew. Don't call me Snowflake Balls, Blast.
Thank you. It's nice to be loved around here. And that opening song, wow. Jack Daniels, that's really topical. Like, I feel like whoever picked that knows me. What do you think, Platt?
I couldn't agree more, man. That's very topical. I mean, quite frankly, that's topical every single week. If you guys don't know, Mr. Balls keeps a pocket pint of Jack Daniels with him at all times during recording.
Hey, it helps me get through. What can I say?
Hey, man, whatever works, man. I can't argue with that, man. It's tough getting your ass beat for an hour every week, so whatever dulls the pain, man.
Yeah, you're an expert in that, being a Cleveland fan, so yeah, that's good.
You got a point. Yeah, Jersey talking shit about me.
Hey, we don't have any teams to get their ass beat by except the Devils, and they were good at some point. Like, the NHL had to change their rules just to make them suck, so I'm okay with that.
Fair enough, man. Shout out to Martin Brodeur. Ooh, I beg your pardon. Mon ami.
Fleur bleu, my Jules. Children need wine.
Les French fries. Royale with cheese.
we just lost any French Canadian or French fans that we could have, would have, or ever would have had. So that's nice.
Sacre bleu.
Yes. How you feeling tonight, by the way, though?
Okay. How about you?
You know, I had no intentions of getting inebriated this evening, yet here we are. So there's that.
Every time we get together.
Oh, by the way, I'm burying in the basement here, ladies and gentlemen. Also joining us this evening is PC Tony.
Everything you've said is true.
Aha, you said it!
Bob. So let me tell you something here. If there's any kids listening, and quite frankly, if there's any kids listening, your parents have failed you. I don't know what they're doing. So listen to your Uncle Chris, man. don't drink and drive because you might spill it.
Yeah, they do.
Don't drink sodas either, by the way. They're actually more dangerous than alcohol.
That depends. Come on. Let's not do a health kick here.
I'm just saying, man, you can't put a bottle of Jack Daniels on your car battery to clean off the corrosion. I'm just saying.
I know, but if I put that bottle of Jack in me, then there will be no corrosion or anything anywhere, assuming I can find the engine.
That sounds like a personal problem, man. I don't know about
that. You end up face down on the road. Like, that could be, that's a bad time. Or is that a good time? I don't know. I think I just gave myself something to do this weekend. Okay. Where are my pants?
Somebody, sounds like somebody is failing the game of life.
I never liked that game, you know? It's always one of the boring board games. Monopoly, Trouble, Sorry. Now that's the shit right there.
Yeah, I meant literally, like the literal game of life. Like, you're born out your mom's vagina, you grow up, you take nutrients, you know what I mean? You go to school, you know, perceivably, you go out, you try to become a productive member of society. That game of life, like the literal game of life.
Well, that last step most millennials have kind of skipped, so I guess maybe I was just ahead of the curve.
I leave the millennials alone, man. I got love for them. We failed them.
You do not. Come on. Most of the millennials are the ones in the basement eating the Tostinos, and you constantly bury them.
No, I was talking about the 50-year-olds that are sitting in the basement eating Tostinos. That's who I refer to.
I like
the millennials.
The 50-year-olds in the basement? How many of them do you know?
You'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised.
Ouch. All right. I guess we kind of have to hit a topic sooner or later, aside from millennials and Doritos and Tostinos. So, Mr. Moderator, get this train on track somewhere.
Good luck with that.
The Raw Gauntlet match. It kept going and going and going. But as it went, did it grow on you?
Well, okay, I guess. All right, well, we're off to a bumpy start here, ladies and gentlemen. But hopefully we can find some equilibrium throughout this turbulence. Drew, I don't know what you thought about the Gauntlet match, man, but I had a couple of thoughts coming out of it. The first one, I don't think WWE had a plan for this Raw, or if they did, they changed it at the last minute. That was the vibe that I got from it, because it was an interesting choice to put an hour match on to start the show. So that was my first thoughts coming out of that. Number two, Seth Rollins got over like Rover, which was a good thing. I'm on record as to saying that I thought Seth Rollins would be a huge, to quote our president, huge babyface. I thought he was Shawn Michaels meet CM Punk, but it just hasn't really worked out this far. I mean, I thought that he would be able to get to that level because his in-ring work was so fan-friendly. But then he continued to get hurt. And, of course, he did the whole storyline with the Authority, and he was just completely unlikable, and ultimately he ended up being unbearable on the mic. So it hasn't worked out to that level yet. But, yeah, you saw he got over with his ring work. Number three, it started out really hot, and then it just, as our moderator said, it just kept going, and it drug on at the end. So it kind of went out with a peter. And it was weird. And this is another reason why I think they didn't really have a plan going into this Raw, or that they scrapped whatever plans they had. So we've got the Elimination Chamber coming up on Sunday, and you basically give us the Elimination Chamber tonight, or on Monday rather. And so now you want us to tune into the network to watch the exact same match, only there's people in pods now. There's plexiglass pods, and you know, I don't know if that's as much of a hook as they think it will be. But again, maybe they're just like the rest of us, buying time until we can get through with these little off-brand pay-per-views and get on our road to WrestleMania.
I mean, Elimination Chamber is the original pod warfare. So without them, we wouldn't be. So come on, you got to give a little bit of a pop or a shout out to them, you know?
Well, I mean, we would have came up with a name either way, man.
Not true enough. Anyway, yeah. Though, when it comes to the whole Seth Rollins thing and the Gauntlet match and all that stuff, You're on the right track, I think, with your opinion. So I don't 100% agree with you, but I see your points. And I feel like you're right where it was kind of a thrown together segment, because Seth Rollins has lost two partners in 3 months. So when you have to kind of shoehorn him in somewhere because he's popular and he's a decent enough wrestler, you have to do something big to give him momentum. And that's all this show was. That's why they front-loaded the gauntlet so heavy with Roman and Cena. And that also hurt the show, because when Roman and Cena were done, the only other person people wanted to see was Braun. I mean, Balor got buried in his match because the crowd started chanting, "We want Strowman." And then to further, I know bury's a strong and stupid and overused word, but to further screw over Balor's chances of relating to the on-screen audience, they have him do his little backstage interview in the middle of Strowman versus Miz. Or was it Strowman? I think it was Strowman versus Miz, yeah. And then Strowman does his big Tyrannosaurus dropkick and the whole crowd pops and nobody gives a shit about what the hell Finn Balor's saying, because everybody just wants, you know, Strowman's match to be bigger so we can see what the hell happened. And then went to the replay right after, which proves what Balor said was, you know, inconclusive and stupid, because Strowman's the big attraction. So it was paced poorly, because the Roman Seth match started off nicely. That was good. Roman didn't need any kind of momentum. He didn't need a rub because he's Roman. Fuck it, you know? He's going to be one of the favorites anyway, because he's Vince's favorite. So putting Seth over him was genius. That's great. That gives him some momentum. Then Cena coming in and basically playing stall for three commercial breaks by saying, "Stay down. I'm going to just let you roll out and just wait for the count and all this other stuff." Like, that killed whatever momentum that show built up from the Roman match. And then he overcame Cena, which on paper is nice. In the match, it was kind of painful. And then Elias got the rub off of Seth. So that was good, because you're given the rub to people either without momentum or that are new to the main event scene, so they need some establishing. So Elias getting the rub off of Seth, who went for like an hour and 6 minutes, that's great. Then Finn coming in, you know, dispatching Elias after a pretty decent match. Like, nobody looked bad there. And then Miz eventually putting away Finn with some evil shenanigans because of the Miztourage coming in and pulling his arm and all that other stuff. You know, that was fine, because it can also lead towards an intercontinental match if they want to go there, or if they want to go with Braun. So either way, it all tied in well. When it comes to the pay-per-view, it's just, I feel like it could have been a lot better, but for the fact that they were on a time crunch, they had to get Seth over, that was probably their main contingency, it was all right. Like, it wasn't the masterful, amazing match that people were blowing it out to be, but it was fine, and it was an hour and, like, 46 minutes of straight wrestling, more or less, which we don't get at the beginning of Raw most of the time. Anything to add?
So let me ask you this then. Assuming that Seth doesn't win the Elimination Chamber, and we're going to get to that here momentarily. So just making that assumption, I you know, we haven't talked. I don't know what you think is going to happen. What do you do with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania?
Triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship.
You don't think that's a step down?
The way that Miz has been pushing the Intercontinental Championship as the main belt, and he's the main eventer, and this is a prestigious award, which it is a lot more prestigious than the Universal. If they want to paint the story, it doesn't have to be a step down, but to the smarter and smarkier crowd like you and myself, it would probably be perceived as a step down, but I think it's still fine.
I have no idea what they're going to do with him. I'm just going to throw it out there. I wouldn't mind seeing Seth and Finn at Mania. There's a little bit of history there. You can play that up. I wouldn't mind seeing that match.
True.
But who knows, man? I have no idea. That being said, moderator, speaking of Elimination Chamber,
this weekend, Sunday, as a matter of fact, Sunday, men's
Sunday,
and women's.
Sunday.
Men's
Sunday.
And the first ever women's Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. And
okay, next topic.
Yeah. What is there really to talk about with this? Because Platt brought up a good point.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah, we should tell that to WWE, because Platt brought up a great point with the fact that they already gave away the match with the gauntlet match, because that could have possibly been more entertaining than the Elimination Chamber, because what's going to happen? Braun's going to put somebody through a pod, because we haven't seen that a million times. Maybe Kane might show up just to be, you know, shenanigan master and just screw over Braun so they can have their blow-off at WrestleMania or something like that. And then,
I like that. Shenanigan Roman, master, as opposed to the devil's favorite demon, the shenanigan master Kane.
I mean, he's a mayoral candidate. He has to be the shenanigan master. He can't be evil. Kids won't vote for that. I mean, people with kids won't vote for that, so come on.
Yes, because politicians are never evil. No, not at all. They're always for the people.
Shenanigans are cheeky
and
fun. Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes
this is
them
true.
Not shenanigans at all, really. What? Evil shenanigans.
I swear to...
Don't ever interrupt us while we're talking about mayoral candidates.
Yeah, that was fine. That was shenanigans. It's Super Troopers. I'm okay with that. But, no. I'm on Team Roman for winning the Elimination Chamber, which is why he didn't need the gauntlet match and why he could just take a freaking nap. Because that match wouldn't hurt him. It wouldn't help him. So, Elimination Chamber seems like Roman's logical path to WrestleMania. And maybe we finally see Cena figure out his path to WrestleMania by starting a weird feud with Braun or someone, something. Bueller. Okay, whatever.
Well, but, I mean, if you don't think that Roman is going to win this Elimination Chamber, you need to put the pipe down, because clearly that's where we're heading here. They've tried for the last few weeks to try to create some uncertainty and in doubt, because Roman has taken some L's within this past month. He lost to The Miz twice. He got pinned clean to Seth on Monday. So they're trying to create some doubt in your mind. But yeah, if you don't think we're heading towards Roman versus Braun, or Brock rather, you're smoking crack. You need to put the pipe down, flat out, total period. But I mean, at this point, they've got 8,600 people in this match. So I think we're going to see some of these people begin to pair off, and that's what's going to set up their Mania programs.
Oh, so you mean like what the women did, where instead of pairing off for feuds, they decided to buddy up to have Sonya and Mandy, and then you have Sasha and Bayley, and now Mickey and Alexa are best friends, so it's going to be more like three squads of two instead of six individuals for probably the longer portion of this match, which if it's anything like that six-man tag they had at the end of Raw, oh my God, I don't want to see that. That was painful.
Well, number one is six women, so there's that. Get your vernaculars.
Mankind. There. Mankind is a generalism for everybody of humanity. It doesn't matter gender. Not to mention there's more than two genders. Don't be a binary fuck like that. Don't assume their gender.
What does Mick Foley have to do with any of this? He's not even employed by WWE. Just because you have his beard, what does he have to do with this?
The dad joke. It hurts. It hurts. I'm dying.
Really?
Dying.
But yet your dad beard and glasses, that's all good, huh?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, where's your white van?
Outside. Why would I have the van inside? It doesn't get cold.
but moving on a little bit here, man, because I think that the
down
women's
by the
match
river.
Don't ever interrupt me while I'm making a segue. So speaking of that, the women's match, man, what do you think about that? Because I think this is the more interesting storyline, and this is more probable for maybe an upset. I would love to see heel Sasha come out of here, but I think ultimately Alexa Bliss is going to win it. But what are your thoughts about this match, man, and how do you think these ladies are going to perform in the Elimination Chamber for the first time?
Okay, now regardless of how much I kind of buried or shit on the six women match at the end of Raw.
Because I'm assuming they all identify as women, by the way. Why you trying to get me in
you
trouble?
Don't know. You don't know. You're assuming again, sir. But the point of the matter is...
I'm already an ass, so I'm just making an ass out of you, so that's fair.
Fair enough. Anyway, so the point is, at least it told a good story where Mickey was really... Alexa was really trying to win over Mickey, and it seemed to work. And we still don't know what the hell's going on with Sasha and Bayley, and Sonya and Mandy are like best friends forever, so that's not going to get ruined because absolution for life or whatever the hell they're saying. So the story it tells will probably be nice. It's just I don't have a lot of faith in the wrestling because Sonya's a good brawler, but she's still really green, and Mandy is very bad. Because she's very green and she was brought up early and they probably didn't expect her to be doing so much legwork until Paige got suddenly injured. But It's not Mandy's fault she's green, but it's like Dana Brooke syndrome all over again. She gets called up too early. She's got a great look. She's a beautiful woman, but there's just things that don't connect when it comes to the actual ring work and furthering her character. And yes, I know she's good on the mic. She's good as a character. She's good interacting with Goldust when they were Rose Gold, but
Rose Gold.
The whole friggin' actual wrestling part of wrestling, it was so hard watching her actually try to do moves 2 days ago since we're doing this on Wednesday. But oh my god.
No, this is Thursday, man. It's Thursday night. What's wrong with you?
Hi, Mandy. Hi.
And our moderator is a big Mandy fan. You have to forgive him because
no one thinks we do this live. Fucking Christ!
Just want to say hi, Mandy. Just want to say hi, Mandy. How you doing? Good. Nice to see you. Hi.
You have to forgive our moderator. The last time, the only two blondes he's ever seen in Wisconsin are Brett Favre and Don Wachowski. So there's that.
Hi, Mandy. Oh.
He's smitten. Give him a break. You know, it happens to the best of us. You should have heard me on Raw Reaction with Asuka. Oh, my God.
Fetish somebody? Fetish anyone?
Wow, that's a little racist right there. Just because she's Asian, it's a fetish? But
because you clearly don't fetishize Asian culture. No, not at all. No, not all pot is war. Not balls. No.
What? Just because I appreciate the wrestling and I happen to have a vast knowledge of a multitude of things, I am like a human Swiss Army knife. I am like a Rubik's Cube in pants. That's what I am. I am not a fetishizer, fetishist, fashionista, fetishista, fetish warlord. No, I don't know. I'm going to have to invent a term.
I thought you just did with a fetish warlord and fetishista. I thought you were inventing terms.
You keep
kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
That's it. Yeah, there we go. I'll have to figure out how to English around this one eventually. But still, what the fuck are we talking about? Oh, yeah, the women's, chamber. Words. I think Mickey James might win this one just for the fun swerve. Back to you, Platt.
Fair enough. I think that Alexa is going to win this, man. I don't know why. But it just makes sense. And quite frankly, man, never mind. She's had a hell of a year. And she deserves to walk into WrestleMania as the Raw Women's Champion, man. She's earned it.
Wait, Alexa had a hell of a year?
Yeah, you don't think so? You disagree?
It's like almost 3 months into the year and she hasn't defended her title since October? And she's just been really pretty and on top? That's a hell of a year?
Oh, she hasn't defended her title since October?
That's right. You forgot to do the glasses. that's a funny joke.
Come on,
really?
Got any cheese?
Come on now, really? I made fun of Horseshack on Monday on my own PC Daily Dozen show.
That just makes you old.
Ooh, yeah, Mr. Gata. You know what, Andrew? In your rear with a can of beer, okay?
Oh, God.
Good
damn.
One. Ooh. You kiss your mom hole. With that mouth?
Everything you've said
Mr.
is true.
Thank you, Mr. Kate. Mr. Kate, everybody, as our moderator.
So what, you want to pull out next? You want to pull out an All in the Family reference? How about My Three Sons? You know, I'm sure that's...
Or how about the Honeymooners? Just like, one of these days, Platt. Boom! Right to the moon. Right in the kisser. Right in the kisser. Zap, bam! To that same old place that you left. Three Stooges.
You're a wise guy. Why I oughta?
Why I oughta?
You want to bring up old sitcoms, say? I think we've let this turn up dry all the thing, man.
We
tease them a lot because we got them on the spot, Mr. Platt. Mr. Platt, Mr. Platt, Velvet Pipes.
Pretty decent, actually. That wasn't bad.
What can I say? I'm an egomaniac. I loved it.
Of course you did. Anyway, don't we have another question? Can't we have another question?
Please, thank you.
Can come up with another question?
You MMA Mayweather have another question?
The pun.
More likely, Mayweather versus Punk or Mayweather versus McGregor? A two.
Mayweather is an intelligent guy, man, and I don't see in anywhere in a thousand years that he is going to be willing, ready, or able to step into an octagon versus Conor McGregor. That's just a bad look. Okay, yes, he could probably make a couple of dollars off of it, probably a lot of dollars off of it. But, I mean, these Mellon Farmers just broke the box off his gate. I don't see the MMA fight eclipsing that. B, I think he's very particular, and I think he likes that 51-0 record. I say 51-0 if you count his WrestleMania victory versus the Big Show. So I think he's kind of on board with his 51-0 record, and I don't think he would be willing to do anything to tarnish that because, quite frankly, that's part of his legacy. If one of these matches was going to take place, I think it would be CM Punk. I don't really see that happening because I don't really see what the spectacle is about it. I really don't because I don't give CM Punk a chance in hell. And all due respect to Punk, I like Punk. I dig him. He's a cool dude. He's an asshole, so of course I like him. But I don't see that. Yeah. So I don't really see that happening. If one of them was more likely, it's got to be CM Punk, but I don't really see any of them happening. Balls, what do you think, man?
Honestly, I think the McGregor one is more likely only off of the premise that McGregor brought it up before their boxing match that, you know, he said something along the lines of, even if I lose here, it's his turf. He should come to my turf and see if he can win there. So they could drag this out. Just for money reasons, because Ted DiBiase taught us everybody's got a price and, you know, money talks. So if Mayweather were to come to MMA, fight McGregor, lose that one, so technically he loses his undefeated in the ring record, but he's still 50-0 in boxing, so I think that's all he really has to care about. And then they could have some kind of rubber match, I don't know, where they play competitive horseshoes, darts perhaps. Maybe they'll play card games, Yu-Gi-Oh! Even, you know, it could be a bunch of stuff. This could be good. We have to find out what their rubber match is, though.
Shuffleboard, man. Winter Olympics, or not shuffleboard?
Curling.
Curling. Yes. Thank you. Curling. Yes. So let me set this up real quick, man, because I did a horrible job of doing that. For those of you that don't know, there was rumors coming out, and I believe Andrew, you talked about it, that Mayweather said he was contemplating stepping into the octagon against Conor McGregor. Is that correct?
I saw something about it real quick, but I didn't know the validity of the article.
Okay, and then there was a bunch of rumors abound that perhaps Floyd Mayweather rather would step into the octagon and fight CM Punk. So, again, we don't know the validity of those, but that's something that has been – these are two rumors that have been floating around the internet, and that's why we brought this topic up. So, forgive me, guys. Blame it on the red wine. I didn't do a good job of setting this topic up. Balls, by all means, keep going.
That's fine, but so since I said McGregor Mayweather probably has a better chance, I don't know, I don't see Punk making it out or making it back into an octagon if he can't beat like what kind of like vanilla midget Mellon Farmers he got coming up in, you know, soon, like
what,
like who the hell did they pick out from like
what's it,
the streets?
What'd you call him?
I said a vanilla midget Mellon Farmer. I used M-M-M. His. Yes, MVMF.
Well, number one, pop on the Mellon Farmer reference. Number two, shout out to all the little people out there. Platt loves you.
We all know vanilla midget is not. It's not like some kind of prejudicial.
The vanilla midget Mellon Farmer.
Yes, VMMF.
That's a good one. Go ahead. Hey, you coming along nicely. You the next Lady Bruce.
Hey. Yeah, so if Punk can't beat this random dude who I've never heard of, then he's done. I don't think he's getting back in the octagon. Unless, didn't the Green Power Ranger like challenge him like a couple years ago? So maybe that'll be enough, you know, stock and fame and money, name recognition to maybe get Punk one more MMA match. Stop selling the name of Living Color, putting it with CM Punk. Imagine.
Look in my eyes. Anywho, stop cutting us off while we're making valid points. Anywho,
so,
don't. Yes.
Didn't Jason David Frank, the Green Power Ranger from like the 90s, like challenge him years ago?
Well, number one, why do you know the name of the Green Power Ranger? Why is that? Why? Why do you know that?
Because I liked the Power Rangers as a kid. Didn't you?
No, man. It was a cheap Voltron ripoff, man. Why would I like that?
We're a little older than that.
It doesn't necessarily matter. It came in like 93. You guys were still like 12.
But it was by that point in time, it was a cheap Voltron ripoff. So, no, we weren't going to.
We were working on our jumpers when we were 12.
Nice pop. Yes.
I was. I don't know about you, right?
It was. You know, while he was at home playing Oregon Trail on his Apple Mac computer, you know what I mean, with the floppy disk. You had
Disteria, and I had a fadeaway.
And that was just in your Zubaz pants, too, wasn't it?
Bro, you're probably wearing Zumbas right now, man, with a fanny pack. Come on now.
What the fuck is a Zumba? Is that like Zubaz pants while on a Roomba? I'm like, I'm cleaning and I'm in my Zubaz. Woohoo, yeah.
Yes, nobody knew of what I spoke, huh? Okay, there yeah, nobody go. Knew what I spoke. Okay.
They're the zebra stripes, and I'm just spinning around on that little fucking disc. It's wonderful.
I can actually see that happening. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I'll send you like a Snapchat of it later. Those coin changers in my fanny pack. I had to protect it in case coins fell out. So there we go. I got you. Don't worry. You'll get it in all quarters, possibly dimes if you need smaller change.
Well, sometimes looks aren't deceiving. What can I say?
Shut the fuck up. So is there any meat left on this bone, question-wise, or are we still in tangent mode?
we're still in tangent mode, but, you know, on the other hand, Balls, you do have kind of a point, man. And as always, in show business, the show must go on.
Wrestle Circus. The show must go on.
And yes, I'm glad the show went on. So, judging from the question, I'm assuming the moderator didn't even watch it, so the question is just there for fun. Anyway, so Wrestle Circus, they had their first show since, I believe, October, unless my timeline's off, because their owner, Al Lenhart, I believe I'm not screwing his name up too much, was had some health issues that forced them to cancel their last show and then bring us to here. And it's one of those weird things where you never want a show to get canceled, and this is wrestling, so obviously canceling a show at the last minute is kind of a bad form. But A, the reason was perfectly understandable, and B, the show was kind of worth the wait. Like, it had a pretty stacked card between Scorpio Sky, Shane Strickland, Shane Taylor was on it, even though Trent Beretta was supposed to be on it, but then couldn't make it, so ended up facing Space Monkey, which that's funny. I think I might have found one of my new favorite, like, little goofy indie comedy acts. But the big draw to everything with this show was Tessa Blanchard versus Brian Cage. Tessa Blanchard being the Tessa Two Belts, as she was so lovingly referred to, because she's the sideshow champion at the time of the show, and also the Lady of the Ring, versus Brian Cage, who's the Ringmaster champion. And that match was pretty freaking phenomenal. Like, most of Tessa's offense was counters to Cage's power, but Cage played up the cocky heel who disrespected the fact that she could do anything and that didn't think she was going to be a big threat. Tessa pulls off big, like, Canadian destroyers, Frankensteiners, like a big like super Frankensteiner off the top rope. And so many just high impact, really awesome looking spots that there were multiple times in that match where you thought Tessa might have actually beaten Brian Cage. And for those who don't know, Brian Cage is a very muscular bodybuilder type power wrestler. So the fact that any woman or most men can't beat him, much less a woman, and there was so many moments where you kind of bought into it and you had to suspend your disbelief of, nah, they're not going to have Brian lose to Tessa. And it was so close and it was so good. And the crowd was so into the whole thing. It was pretty fantastic. Flat.
You know, it's funny because, you know, WWE is so dead set against having intergender matches. I mean, they won't even allow man-woman physicality at this point, man. And then you look around the world, you know, Mexico, they do a lot of intergender things. Other places around the world as well. Obviously, it's big on the indie scene. And from all accounts, with this match, man, like, you know, you just brought up, obviously I didn't get to see it because, well, frankly, I have a life and things to do. But no disrespect to any of the workers, man. but from all accounts that I'm hearing, man, it was a hell of a match. And like you said, Balls, they really did make you buy into the match that Tessa might actually come out on top in this, man. So it's interesting to me, and it's weird because it just says something about different cultures and what's acceptable and what's not. So I don't really know what that says about our society or even society in general, but I feel like it says something.
I mean, you got a point there, especially since Lucha Underground does the intergender stuff constantly. Yes. And that's obviously more the Lucha Mexican style, Mexican flair, which they have intergender matches all the time because that's what it should be. Everybody on the roster is a wrestler. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, you know, whatever the heck you identify as. If you're a wrestler, you should be able to wrestle whoever the hell you want. And there shouldn't be odd classifications like that because that just plays into bad stereotypes and old kind of concepts of, oh no, she's a girl, don't hit her, that's poor form. It's like that undercuts everything that society is trying to move forward to, even if it's seen as more television friendly, which I suppose that's probably why WWE steers away from it. And that's purely because USA Network doesn't want, you know, women getting smacked around by men. But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, but society would kind of dictate that might not be a terrible thing. You might not lose as many viewers as you would think.
No, that's fair. And another place I wanted to go, number one, Brian Cage looks like $1 million. And I think it's only a matter of time before he ends up in the show. But why do you think Tessa hasn't been to the E yet? I know she was involved in the Mae Young Classic, and she was my early odds on favorite to win it, man, because of her pedigree. I mean, and she's got the name recognition and the value, so I thought she might actually pull that out and that would become her stepping stone or that would be her showcase. But why do you think she's not in the E yet?
I mean, I agree with you completely because I thought she was going to be one of the early crop that got picked up for a long-term contract because of the name recognition. And what would have been better than to put Tessa with Charlotte and actually form a female four horsemen where they could technically kick out Bayley because no one gives a shit about her and throw Tessa in there. But from everything I've heard, and you've probably heard a couple of these rumblings too before, that Tessa's attitude kind of rubs people the wrong way at times, which I don't care. I'm not here to speak on that because she's never said anything to me, and hearsay and he said she said, you know, there's three sides to every topic, every conversation, you know, yours, mine, and the truth. So there's no way to really know why Tessa doesn't have a job in the bigger promotions, but when it comes to sheer in-ring skill, ring psychology, like technical ability, and she at least looked humble after the match when Brian Cage was giving his promo, which if I was going to nitpick anything about the show and the match.
You nitpick? No.
Hey, it's kind of my job. But still, the promo Cage gave afterwards where he was playing up the cocky heel and didn't really respect her during the match. He totally broke. Hey, this is going to be a shitty word to say because most people think it doesn't exist nowadays anyway. But he totally broke kayfabe. And even in his promo, whatever you want to say, said, can I be serious for a minute, and put her over in a fashion that wasn't a heel putting over his opponent with, yeah, she's really good, don't sleep on her just because she's a girl kind of thing. It was like really, really heartfelt, and the crowd, which was very anti-Cage and pro-Tessa, started to kind of sway to being pro-Cage because he was putting over Tessa so hard, and then they like hugged in the middle of the ring. So it's everything that all of the other podcasts with the former wrestlers like Conan and Disco and Raven and all of them talk about with the indie scene being have a high impact, high octane match, and then, you know, hug in the middle of the ring and put each other over on Facebook or Twitter. Like, that kind of concept deludes a little bit of the mystique, but I'm not gonna take that away from the match just because that's how they decided to interact with each other. But to tie it back to what I was saying before about Tessa, is she seems like she's not that bad of a person from the way she's portrayed in all the shows, the way she interacts, and all that other stuff. So, like I said, three sides to every conversation, every topic. So, I wish I was.
You're not going to hold that against the match, even though you just spent a minute and 30 seconds holding that against the match. That's how we're going to play this, huh?
I was using it against the show, not the match, because the match was over when that happened. So it's you can't really argue when it's over. It's like all the missed calls in different sports. The game's over. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Who cares if the refs missed the call?
Now, I will go against character type here, and I will say that you guys, Andrew, put up a really good article on thechairshot.com concerning Wrestle Circus, man, so you guys should check it out, like, point blank, period. Like, and that'll probably be the last time this whole year I actually put balls over. But, yeah, it's a really good article. You guys should go check it out, thechairshot.com. As far as Tessa goes, I can't hold her attitude against her because, hell, I have a bad attitude as well. But much like me, when it comes to Tessa, talent should speak volumes, and talent should speak more than anything else, man. And talent deserves a chance to shine. And also, you know, I've heard stories about her father that he's kind of a different cat as well. So hashtag check the pedigree.
That was a very nice way to put it, Platt.
Thank you.
you're just in a very nice mood. Like, I expect to get, you know, more props from you later on because it's me. I'll make points. I'll write something nice. You're going to have to cave eventually. But you're just in a very giving mood today. Like, are you sick? Are you really drunk? How's that wine?
Well, that's what it is. It is the red wine. Quite frankly, I had designs on getting buns this evening, but I think we've ran too long and you guys have ruined that for me. So, hello, Pornhub. So...
Well, now, hey, that's actually a perfect segue, because what you'll be doing is what Conrad is the ambassador of, and what him and Tony so lovingly call their viewers on What Happened When, and that's slap dicks. So, since I love throwing this over to Conrad, and we have this commercial, I will gladly put that over and really say, check out LoisRules.com for their stuff and help Shivani pay off the wedding. And here we go, Conrad Thompson, everybody.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. And you're listening to the Chairshot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Always use your head. Hey, which I won't be getting tonight, thanks to you, gentlemen.
I was going to say that.
Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer. Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer?
Echo.
Well, for those of you that don't know the story, I don't remember who broke it. I guess it really doesn't matter at this point because by now WWE has confirmed that good old J-E-double-T, J-A-double-R-E-double-T
himself. He said J-E-double-T? His name is Jeffrett? What the fuck?
J-E-T-S, Jeff Jarrett.
Yay, Jeff Jarrett, wee.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Superstar. Yeah.
Kids, Kids, don't even drink in podcasts, man. Shout out to DWI Podcast, but don't drink in podcasts either, man. You'll end up sounding like a buffoon and jerking off by yourself at the evening, at the end of the night. So don't do that.
I like how it would all come back to that. This is what he ain't getting done because he's a drunk.
Delete!
Everybody.
Delete! Delete!
Please.
Delete!
Please.
Delete! 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 Delete!
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Well, the other person is asleep now. So, you know, thanks, guys. That's how we ended up in this predicament in the first place.
That's why you need more people. Because if you
had
more.
That's why you make a verbal agreement when you're both awake. Get it on video.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The thoughts and opinions expressed by PC Tunney do not necessarily reflect those of Chairshot Radio Network or thechairshot.com, and especially Pod is War.
They're probably not that far off.
But we understand.
But yeah, they think they got the answers. I changed the questions.
So right, what's the question? It changed from can I have some pussy to can I have some buns? Is that where the change came? Anywho.
Jeff Jarrett. Just say his name. Don't spell it. You're going to trip again.
Anywho, back to... Stop it. Cut the music. Cut the music. Cut the music.
But that's his theme. He's helping you out.
He's not helping me. He's only hurting. He's only hurting at this point.
That's what she said.
But yeah, shout out to Jet Jarrett, whomever he may be.
That's a cool dude, man.
Jet Jarrett. Anywho, so Jeff Jarrett
turned
is
the NBA on TNT for Kenny the Jet Jarrett. Here we go.
Oh, Jesus. I just got to roll to the skin, man. You just got to steer to the skin. That was good. That was good. You got to steer to the skin sometimes, folks. Sometimes you're the dog. Sometimes you're the hydrant. And today, I am the hydrant. Okay?
Supposed to turn into the spin, so this makes sense.
Yes. So as I wipe my brow off. So going back to Jeff.
Motherfucking Jarrett.
Jeff motherfucking Jarrett ain't nothing to mess with.
No, he's not. But back to Jeff Jarrett, man. So he's a WWE Hall of Famer now. So full disclosure, growing up, I was much a wrestling mark, just as I am now. And I had the privilege to and was privy to see literally everything. Like if you were anybody in the 80s or 90s, I saw you. So I was first introduced to Jeff Jarrett in USWA, and he was presented as a main eventer at the time, and again as a kid, so I just took him as a main eventer, not knowing that his daddy was the promoter, but that's neither here nor there. And then he moved on, you know, to WCW, WWE, whatever. So Jeff Jarrett, so when I think of Jeff Jarrett, man, I think about him finessing his way through the Attitude Era, going back and forth from WWE to WCW and vice versa. Then he finesses his way into becoming a multiple-time WCW heavyweight champion. Then, at the end of the Attitude Era, the end of the Monday Night Wars, once the war was won, he finessed his father, and I'm assuming a bunch of other investors, into investing into his vision, which was TNA Wrestling, right? So then he finesses a deal with Spike TV to get TNA Wrestling on an actual cable network. We'd be remiss to if we didn't bring up the fact that he also finessed Kurt Angle's wife, and you bet you by golly, a lot of those Olympic gold medal dollars went to sustaining TNA. I mean, Kurt always talks about the three I's. He doesn't really want us to talk about the three A's: addiction, adultery, and alimony. Oh, it's true. It's damn true. So we moving fast forward, man. So DNA is kind of fledgling. So now he finesses Dixie Carter to come in and bring her Big Bang Hank self into the fold to keep TNA stable. So then after they set up a coup to remove Jeff Jarrett from his own company, then he finds a way to finesse some other investors, one of them being Toby Keith, I believe, into investing into Global Force Wrestling. So after Global Force Wrestling can't get onto television and can't find a television spot, Jeff Jarrett ends up finessing people into overpaying for gold. And if you guys remember that.
It's 24 Jarrett.
Exactly. And then we come back, and Jeff Jarrett finesses his way back into TNA, the company that orchestrated a coup to get him out of. He finesses his way back into TNA and finesses his Global Force Wrestling onto national television. And now we bring it all back full circle, man. 20 years after he allegedly stiffed Vince McMahon for money to put China over on his way out the door, Jeff Jarrett now finesses himself into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, if we're talking from a pure in-ring standpoint, man, obviously we know that the WWE Hall of Fame, it's completely optional and arbitrary, and they put whoever they want to put in there. You know, we've got Kobe Ware, Pete Rose in there, whatever, whatever. And you can make an argument on stats and numbers alone that Jeff Jarrett deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a multiple-time WCW heavyweight champion, U.S. champion, Intercontinental champion, WWE tag team champion, TNA champion, whatever, whatever. You can make that argument if you really want to. But, gentlemen, the question that I ask is, frankly, is Jeff Jarrett one of the greatest workers in the history of the business? And it has absolutely positively nothing to do with his actual in-ring work.
In the respect of being able to work someone like a salesman, yes, he's fantastic. Because the finesse should have been like our magical buzzword of this show, because you used it so much, but it made so much sense, and it's a perfect word to use about Jarrett, because it seems like he just kind of worked the system, or worked the hand he was given, just to make people believe he was worth more than he actually was. You know, everybody hated him because he was a heel in the 90s in WWF. So that was able to cover up the fact that he was kind of a dick, and he wasn't exactly the best in the ring at that point anymore. Like in his younger days, like the USWA stuff and AWA, like he was a solid young wrestler. Like, you know, him in his matches with like Bill Dundee and all that other crap, like he actually did not look bad for that time. And then,
well, I think that's the key word, though, for that time, because you know, he was never a horrible in-ring worker, but I kind of think like time kind of passed him by. He was of a bygone era.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, where he was trained in that like older Southern wrestling style and never adapted fully. So what made him look so good in like, what, 85, 86, whenever he first broke onto the scene, and still kind of worked up through the early 90s when wrestling was kind of crappy because, you know, WWF was still PG at that time and WCW was bad. So, like, there wasn't exactly a lot of top-tier talent to kind of put, you know, kind of compare him against. So he could have also just gotten lost in the wash as being decent enough to draw people because he was all right in the ring and he was a known name, and you know, Jarrett name, you know, that carried a lot of weight where he was at. And so where I was going with this was just the fact that, much like you said, was that he's kind of a product of a bygone era, never completely changed, but his character still, you can't say any of this was out of character for the persona that he showed on wrestling shows. Like, he was always kind of the manipulative douchebag. And did he ever really venture away from that?
Sometimes art imitates life. And I wouldn't even necessarily call him a douchebag. I don't know him. I've heard stories, obviously. But
that's why I
respect
the character.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But I respect the finesse, man. I really do. I respect the finesse. What can I say, man? I mean, Jeff Jarrett is the American dream, man. A dude with below average ability being able to reach such heights. It's a beautiful thing, man.
All right, Jeff Jarrett, are you going to insult me again here tonight?
Well, that depends, slap nuts.
Well, listen, chosen one, the chosen one, the WCW World Heavyweight Champ. I saw the expression on your face earlier tonight when Eric Bischoff told you that your match with Sting tonight would be for that title.
Listen, Oakland, I'm going to smack Sting around like a pinata tonight with my guitar, with or without Russo and Bischoff's help. And you know why? Because I am the chosen one and the WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Jurassic Slapass.
Hey, blow it out your...
Oakland talking to World Champion Jeff Jarrett.
Well, he's certainly the one Karen Angle chose, so there's that.
Maybe it's because he knew how to slap ass. Ooh, maybe Karen likes that. You never know. I like that we also got a Tony Schiavone on this one, too. We had Conrad. I brought up the Schiavone thing. We got a little bit of Schiavone at the end of that. It's nice. It's nice. But, here's a fun question, since WWF likes to play or WWE likes to play the revisionist history and just apply what they want to. Because Jarrett won the championship in TNA when it was still a product of NWA and not the TNA title, will they count those six? What do you think?
Well, let me say this, because you remember that weird angle that WWE did in the mid-90s where the NWA tried to invade them? About a week and a half. But wasn't he also the NWA champion at that time as well, or am I mistaken?
Oh, good God. He might have been. Was he the NWA US or North American champion? Was that what it was? Was it like the lower belt? Because they used to do the regional stuff back then a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm seeing the eye in the sky. He's saying no, although he's not correcting us in what we're speaking
he's
of.
He's saying so no while he's checking Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, thanks for trying to save him and put him over, but yeah. Oh, he's saying it's not going to count. NWA. But I mean,
this is why we're talking here. Jeez.
Yes. Yes. And he's just
Bill Belichick looking ass motherfucker.
He does. He has got to have the Belichick thing going on. And then when he takes the hood off, he looks like a Milhouse Van Housen or whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, close enough.
You get the point. But shout out to Jet Jarrett, man, for going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Nice.
That was on purpose. That was on purpose.
No, I like it because fuck Jeff Jarrett. Jet Jarrett's who should be in the Hall of Fame. We need to start that now. Start a hashtag Jet Jarrett for Hall of Fame, man.
I like it, man. Hashtag Jet Jarrett for Hall of Fame. He's got my vote. anything else you want to bring up?
About good old Jeff? No, not really.
Well, about anything, man. We getting ready to wrap this shit up, B. So, you know, you got anything else you want to throw out there?
I guess the Zubaz Pants reference from a little bit ago reminded me of that music.
Yeah. So, Balls, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you and what you got going on this week on thechairshot.com.
I was about to say on that whole, I'm not finished with you yet. Like, we should probably finish things up because we're finished here, you know.
It's only going to go downhill from here. So, yeah, let's wrap it up.
From here? Can we go further down? Is there more of a downhill?
Believe me, I believe there is.
Is this like one of those speed traps that they have where the cops change it from like 45 to 25 as soon as you're off the down ramp?
All right, fair enough. Not the analogy I would have went with, but okay.
Okay. So, finishing plugs stuff. The Twitter there, that thing. At IWC Warchief, you can, as I always say, yell at me, critique things, send hate mail, send whatever you want, send pictures of people wearing Zubaz pants on Roombas. That would be awesome. I'm just saying, but. Send that to Andrew Belez at thechairshot.com. And going on in the week, you will probably see NXT Power Rankings from me. And also, we're going to have the second installment of our Chairshot pay-per-view picks. Because, as we've mentioned a couple times, Elimination Chamber is Sunday. And we've got a friendly little rivalry going on among some of us on the Chairshot of who's going to end up with the better record. And currently, Harry Broadhurst from Raw Reaction is 6-0, and the wonderful engineer, Mr. Chairshot Radio himself, DPP, is also tied at 6-0. So everybody's got to go up and go get him.
What's your record?
That's why he's the architect, baby. Unlike this schmuck we got running our show here, you know.
We just got the commissioner, not the architect.
Yeah. Nah, we got what's his name, Roger Goodell.
What's Platt's record? What's Platt's record?
At least he's not Adam Silver.
What's Platt's record?
Yes, White Tony Dungy, exactly. So what you got going on, Platt? Where can people find you?
Hey, man, you guys can also find me on the Twitter at TheRealCPlatt. Send your hate mail, send your comments, questions, concerns, whatever. But I have to warn you, your arms are way too short to box with God. And also, considering my predicament this night, man, I'd really appreciate if you guys send me some provocative lady pictures, because I'm probably going to need the assistance. Not going to lie to you. The internet's kind of slow around these parts.
Hashtag first world problems.
Touche. Touche. When you put it like that, I guess I don't have a whole lot to complain about, man. I can go to the memory bank. And you guys always, man, you guys can find... Also, man, you can check me out on the flagship show on Chairshot Radio Network coming this Friday, Chairshot Radio. So check that out, man. And again, man, you can always find us at Chairshot Radio Network and find whatever we got going on, podcasts, articles, whatever, at the Chairshot.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't maybe not, but always use your head. For Andrew Snowflake Balls, for the Commish PC Tunney, my name is Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time. Shalom.